because we intentionally invite children to be in the service with us. So, would all the kids please join me right up front? I need you right here. I have a very special message I want to share with you. And you're able to see and to listen. Now, what is this? As you come around and you sit on the floor, what is this that I have in my hand? Play-Doh. Yes, I have a lump of clay, a lump of Play-Doh. And how many of you have ever made something out of clay or Play-Doh? Probably everybody, I would think. I love making things out of Play-Doh or clay. I just love it, squishing it, shaping it. And I do that two different ways. Sometimes I just start squishing and I play with it. And then I kind of think, well, I wonder what this looks like. Ooh, like maybe this is going to be a snake or something. Oh, that could be. Yeah. Or I do it another kind of way where I just keep shaping it, but I have in my mind already what I want to make. So right now, guess what? I came here this morning with an idea of what I want to make. And I know what it is. So while I'm talking to you about Pastor Monica's message this morning and about God, I'm going to just keep shaping this while I'm talking to you, and then we'll talk about what it is as you start to see it take shape. So did you know that the Bible talks about God like he's a potter shaping and molding us? He made us, and it's like he shapes us. Did you know that? God's the one who made you and I, right? He made us, and he shapes us. And the Bible even talks about that in the book of Jeremiah. How many of you know what a potter is? Have you seen a potter working with a wheel and shaping beautiful pots on the wheel? Yes? I think I saw you say, Addison, that you've even done one. Have you done one before? Oh, yeah, they're pretty cool, aren't they? So potters shape things, and God is our potter, and he made us. Now, you can see that I'm shaping a girl. I'm trying to shape a girl, or maybe you can't really tell, because if I had a lot more time for my creation, I would do like, God, I would take a lot more time with this, and I'd want to give her, you know, all the right things. I'd want to give her a mouth, and I'd want to put eyes and a nose and ears, and I'd love to give her hands and feet, and then maybe wearing clothes and freckles, because I love freckles. Oh, they're awesome. So, but, you know, I'm getting carried away. That's how God felt when he was going to make us. Did you know that in Psalm in Genesis 1:27, first, it says, that's the very first book of the Bible, right? In Genesis, it says that God made us in his image. And that means God made us to be like him. We're like the best thing he made. You are the best thing that he made in all of creation. And he thought about you long before you were ever born, and he made you special to be just like him. And then it also says in the book of Genesis that God made men and women, boys and girls. I love that. Now, my girl, let's see. You know, we could put up on the screen. We better put a better picture of a Play-Doh girl, because mine right now, I'm just not having enough time to make it go anywhere. Isn't she beautiful? I'd love to spend more time and make a girl like that out of my Play-Doh. Now, what we're going to do is let's think about a psalm in the Bible that talks about how God planned your life and your life and your life and your life long before you were ever born. And this psalm is so beautiful. It says that he thought about you before your mom or dad even knew that you were going to happen, before you were born. That's pretty incredible. Now, because God knows us so well, I mean, if he's shaping us and molding us, if he's the potter, if he thought about us and then made us into beautiful people, that means God must know us really well Do you know I'm already getting to know my girl better as I'm making her and shaping her into what I'd like her to be? And when I take more time with her later, I'll know her even better. I'll understand her. God understands everything about us. And you know, when Jesus walked and talked to the earth, he was actually born with a mom and a dad, and he came into this world, and he was God, but Jesus was a person just like you and me. Boy, does God understand us and love us. Isn't that awesome? Now, we have a little something for you, and so would you, before you go back to your seats, you need to come and just get one container of Play-Doh. Don't worry about the color. And I'm just going to hand this to you, and Pastor Monica's going to help me hand it out to you. Oh, and Chris is helping too. We're just going to quickly give these to you while Pastor Monica gets ready to talk to you some more. So when you get back to your seats, wait till you see what Ms. Pastor Monica wants you to do with this Play-Doh. You can start shaping and molding something even while you're sitting down.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dawn. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, kids, for coming up here today. And definitely hold on to your Play-Doh when you get back to your seats, because I'm going to ask for you to create some more things as we go through worship this morning. And then after worship, you can come up and show Ms. Dawn what you've created. And maybe we can even take a picture together after service is over. So we're continuing this morning in our Important Things to Know About God series. We've gone through this for the past 2 weeks. We're in our third week of this series. And I was thinking this week, as I was preparing my message, if I was to ask each of you in this room what you wanted to know about God, or what you wanted to know from God, what those important things might be, you all would probably have different answers. Some of them might be the same, but you would probably have your own unique questions that you want to ask of God. And so when I was preparing my message this week, I found some really deep questions that some kids have asked God, and I wanted to share those with you this morning. The first one here is from Norma. It's up here. And Norma wants to know this from God. Right? Like, God, what is up with the giraffe? Like, was that you stretching your creative muscles, or was that just an accident? You know, what is the giraffe all about? And Neil had a question of God, too. Neil wants to know this, you know, is it okay to kiss in church? You know, Neil has that important question of God. And Jane's question here, this one's my personal favorite of the three. God, right, what's wrong with the people you already made? Why can't they just stick around? So these are good questions, I think, right? They're funny. They're also pretty deep, I think. Kids are thinking. They're wondering about the world around them. And as kids grow up, as they become adolescents and teenagers and young adults and into adulthood, you know, our questions that we want to ask God grow with us. And they begin to change. And we ask God some pretty serious questions eventually. We start to question, you know, why, God, why do bad things happen? Or, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? You all probably know someone who has gone through something and you just can't make sense of it. Maybe you want to know, why is the Old Testament so violent? Why is there so much violence there? I can't seem to make that make sense with Jesus in the New Testament. You know, what about salvation? What does that mean? You might want to know, how can I trust the Bible? And a lot of people simply want to know, who is God? What is God? How do I know that God is real? And so we've, over the past couple of weeks, we've started to answer broader categories of these questions. The first week in the sermon series, Pastor John taught us about the always important and always relevant lesson about God's immeasurable love for us. You know, God loves us so much. God created us out of love. God has been with us ever since. And God loves us in a sacrificial and selfless way. God demonstrates his love for us by giving us Jesus. And then last week, Deborah talked to us about God's forgiveness. And just like there's no greater love than God's love for us, there's no greater forgiveness that you or I will ever receive than the forgiveness and freedom that comes from God. You know, and we're asked to respond to that forgiveness. We're asked to accept it. We're asked to change our lives a little bit. And so today we're going to be talking about something that's completely related to those two, about how God understands you and how we know that God understands you. And the truth is that love and forgiveness and understanding all fit together in a perfect relational puzzle. You can't really have love or forgiveness or understanding on their own. They have to go together. And if you think about this, think about people in your own lives. Think about your parents or your brothers or your sisters or your spouse or your friends. And think about people that you love. And if there's someone in your life that you love, chances are that you've had to forgive that person many times. Maybe many times already today. You've had to forgive that person, right? And we forgive people that we love because our love for them draws us to them and makes us want to understand who they are and why they do the things that they do. We want to get an understanding of our loved ones from their point of view, from their perspective. And this is exactly what God does for us. And this is why love and forgiveness and understanding are all related. And we first learn about how God understands us, how God understands you, in the very first book of the Bible. So kids, do any of you remember what the very first book of the Bible is? You can just shout it out. Genesis, right. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And we hear these words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea.'" And then in verse 27, it says, "So God created them." God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So your first fill in the blank in your notes is that God understands you because you were created in God's image. You were created in God's image. You are an image bearer of God. My favorite way to say this is the Latin expression imago Dei. Can you all say imago Dei? Imago Dei. Just means image of God. I like to say that. It sounds fun. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion and research of what does it mean to be created in the image of God? You know, does God have a body like us? And this image of God, I want to share with you what I understand that this means. And the first way that I understand what it means to be created in the image of God is that you were designed as a copy of your maker. God understands you because you were designed as a copy of God. So if you were to picture God sitting on a photocopy machine, right, and out comes the paper, you're the paper that comes out. You know, you're not the original, but you bear a resemblance to the original. But you can't claim to be the original because then that would be like copyright infringement, and we don't want to do that. But you're a copy of your maker. Second, you're also a reflector of God. You're a reflector of God's character. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is spirit. But you and I were created with flesh and bones and blood and bodies. And so God gave us our bodies to reflect God's character, to reflect his love and his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and his compassion. We're designed to reflect who God is into the world that God created. And also, I believe that image of God means that we were created as shadows of God. Shadows. And, you know, I never really thought much about that until this week. But the more I thought about it, the more I liked this metaphor. Because I don't know about you, but I tend to think that you and I, we're real. Because I can see you and I can touch you and, you know, we have senses and we can taste and smell and feel. And that God is invisible. But if we think of it as we're shadows of God, then what we really realize is that God is real and that we are as custom designed shadows, but God is very real and we're here just being shadows of who God is in this world. And being created in the image of God as human beings, you are the only creature that God created that shares that special, unique, and powerful trait. Animals don't share it. Trees don't share it. Buildings don't share it. Human beings, male and female, are the only created being that share this powerful trait. It's a high calling. God created us. God created you in his image and for a purpose. And being created in God's image means that God understands us for two particular reasons. More than that, but two that I'm going to share with you today. And this is on the inside of your notes. And it's God understands you because God creates. God creates. In that passage in Genesis that we studied, after it says that God created male and female in his likeness, That chapter goes on to say, and then God gave them dominion over all of the other creatures, over all of creation, and told them to care for it, to subdue it, to take care of it. So God designed you, God understands you as a co-creator. Creation didn't stop in Genesis. God made you to continue carrying it forward. How many of you like to create things, like to tinker, like to draw, like to build with Legos, like to play with Play-Doh, like to photograph, like to make music, like to dance, like to manage projects or people, like to take something from its infancy stage and grow it and develop it into something new and different? Yeah, God understands that about you because God designed you to be a creator in the unique ways that he gave those gifts to you. So God understands because God creates, and God understands, secondly, because God relates. God creates and God relates. Kids, you all learned about the Trinity, right? And from Miss Leah and Miss Dawn. And the Trinity tells us that God is what? Three in one. So right in God's own being, we see relationships. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all in eternal relationship within themselves. So we can't really understand that all that much, other than we know that they're there together in relationship. And they do everything together, even in their unique parts. And you and I, we're designed to be in relationships too. It's why we don't want to go through life in isolation, even if we're introverts, even if we're shy. We are designed to relate to God and to relate to those around us, to our loved ones. I heard just on the radio this morning driving in a study that came out that really tells us something we probably already know. If you're in your house and one person in your house is feeling especially happy or excited about something, those emotions are contagious. Literally contagious. Everyone gets excited to celebrate that graduation. Everyone gets excited about the birth of a baby, right? And on the other side of that, when someone in the house is stressed out, everyone else can feel that. Can you feel it when there's other people that you're either in your classroom or your friends, they're just stressed? You walk in, you're like, something about this room feels tense. Something about this feels tense. We are designed to be in relationship. We can't get away from it. God understands that about us. So, two days ago, my kids started screaming. They're out on the front lawn and they're screaming, Mom, there's a bird out here, there's a bird, it's hurt. And I go outside and I see seven kids on our front lawn and this little tiny baby blue jay. And the mama blue jay and one of the sibling blue jays had been out, and they're out of their nest, and the mom was teaching the birds how to fly and to get their food. Well, the one bird was ready to fly and took off, and this other little guy or girl, I think it was a girl, was left back, hopping around in our yard with seven kids around it like this. And so my kids are freaking out and they're like, Mom, the bird's hurt. And I came up to the bird and the bird was laying on its side. And I realized the bird was playing dead, so my kids did not hurt it. And I'm like, I looked at it and I'm like, kind of looked like it was hurt. And then I touched it and it jumped. I'm like, nope, bird's not hurt. Bird just doesn't want kids to touch it. And what I realized, these seven kids are all around this little baby fledgling and they want to help it. And they want it to get better, and they want to do something good for this bird. And what they wanted to do probably would not have helped, but that wasn't the point. They want it to help in their hearts. And I started to think about that. Why do they all care? Why do they all care? This bird can't do anything for them, has nothing to offer them. And why is it that we all seem to know that there is intrinsic value in this life, in this creation? It's because God designed us to be creators and to care for creation and to be in relationship. And it was just a beautiful thing. And we got the bird to safety, and that was even better. And everything was okay. So God designed us in his image. God designed us to be co-creators. God designed us to relate. And the hands-down biggest reason that I want to share with you this morning that I hope conveys how God understands you personally, how God understands those around you, is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And that chapter starts off like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life of the light of all people. And then it goes on in verse 14. Can we read that together? It's in your notes. It says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with God. And Jesus Christ was God in the beginning. And then your two fill-in-the-blanks there are that the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word that was with God, that was God from the very beginning, took on flesh and lived among us. God understands us. God understands us. When we think about God loving us and God forgiving us, we might be tempted to keep God over here still, to say God loves us and God loves me and forgives me, but God's over here and I'm still over here, separate from God, different from God. But when we read this passage and we see that not only does God love us and forgive us, but God understands us because he became one of us. God became one of us. He didn't just create us and then pack up and take a vacation to a different universe. He decided to become one of us. And the characteristics of God on your back page is that Jesus was fully divine and fully human. The fully divine part of Jesus was the God part of Jesus, the eternal part of Jesus, the part of Jesus that can never die. And the human part of Jesus is the part of Jesus that shares every characteristic that you have and then some. There is nothing that you will ever think, feel, or go through that God in the person of Jesus Christ hasn't already gone through. Jesus has had your thoughts and your feelings and your experiences. And you might ask, well, how do you know this? And I would point you to your New Testament. Your New Testament will share many examples of how Jesus was just like you and how Jesus understands you. The first thing is that Jesus was born. How many people in this room have not been born? Right? We're all born. And we all come into the world through our mother's womb. And Jesus came into the world the same way. The Gospels of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke point out Jesus' birth story to us. It's where we get our Christmas messages from each year. And the Gospel of John shares that passage that I just shared with you. The Word became flesh. It doesn't talk about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, but it tells us that God took on flesh and came into this world. So Jesus was born. Second, Jesus experienced milestones. Have you ever pictured Jesus learning to crawl or learning to walk or cutting teeth, teething, you know, crying, being up all night? Have you ever pictured Jesus having pimples or Jesus kind of awkwardly growing into his adult like man body? We don't really, you know, we don't think about this. The Bible doesn't tell us very much about that interim period, but we know already, like I just said a minute ago, that Jesus was fully human. And so, of course, he experienced all of those milestones that you're going through right now, with all of their awkwardness, too. Three, Jesus learned from teachers. Now, it's kind of hard to think about Jesus having to learn anything from anyone because Jesus was God, but we know that Jesus learned from his parents and from teachers. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about Mary and Joseph and Jesus going in for Passover, and when they returned back from Jerusalem, Jesus stayed behind. They lost Jesus for about 3 days. And when they realized that Jesus was gone, Mary and Joseph went back. And does anyone know where they found Jesus? In the temple. And he was in the temple learning from rabbis, asking questions, growing. He was learning from teachers. And later on in that passage in the Bible, it says that Mary and Joseph were like not really happy. They're like, where were you, Jesus? You know, we thought you were with us. We just lost God. What, you know, this isn't okay. And then it says Jesus was obedient to his parents and he went, you know. So Jesus learned from his parents and he learned from his teachers. So when you have to learn from teachers and other people, God understands that because Jesus learned from teachers too. Jesus cried. We know a couple of times in Scripture where, you know, when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. When Jesus entered Jerusalem for what would be his last week of life, he cried. And he wasn't really crying necessarily because he knew he was going to die. He cried because he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. He knew about the destruction that was happening. And he had real feelings. In Isaiah 53:3, we hear that our Messiah will be a man of sorrows, accustomed with grief. So when you're upset, when you're crying, when you're going through grief, God understands you because Jesus went through these things. Jesus had feelings just like you and I have feelings. How many of you have ever thought about Jesus laughing or dancing or, you know, telling a joke? You know, I tend to think that Jesus is loving and kind and compassionate and stoic. But, you know, we read about big feasts. We read about weddings and wine and parties and dinner gatherings. And I can only imagine that there was joking going on, that there was laughter, right? Because that's what we do when we get together as human beings. We love each other. We like to have a good time. You know, Jesus felt alone. Jesus felt scared. The last week of his life, he pleads with the Father, "Take this cup from me if there's any way, but if not, your will be done." He felt scared. When you feel scared, God understands. He felt joy. He felt hungry. He needed to eat the food that we eat. He needed to breathe the same air that we breathe. He needed to drink water. He had feelings. You know, Jesus was tempted. Tempted. Tempted means that, you know, you're feeling like you want to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing or think something that you shouldn't be thinking. And Jesus felt those things too. We're told in the Bible that the Spirit led Jesus away into the wilderness and tempted him with fame and with power and with pretty much said, "I'll give you the whole world, Jesus, if you just sell your soul to me." And so when you're feeling tempted, God understands you because Jesus was tempted too. Jesus was mocked. How many of you, don't raise your hand for this, but, you know, have been made fun of, have been the source of someone's joke, have had that crushing feeling of someone, you know, is making a joke out of me? You know, that's pretty much the worst feeling ever, right? Like, it's just not a good feeling to think that other people are making a joke out of you. And Jesus even knows, he understands what that feels like. He went through so much shame and ridicule. And maybe we like to think that it didn't bother him because he was God, but he was also fully human. And that crushing feeling that we feel, I imagine that he felt that too. Jesus was betrayed. Those closest to Jesus, if you've ever been betrayed by a spouse, by a loved one, by a family member, by someone you thought you could trust, by someone that is in your circle, then, you know, God understands that too. You know, Judas was incredibly close to Jesus and essentially turned on him and sold him and handed him over to die for a handful of coins. And Peter just denied even knowing Jesus. So when we're betrayed, God understands that. God understands how it feels. You know, Jesus suffered. Jesus went through an incredible amount of suffering. I can't think of any worse suffering than what Jesus went through. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was bleeding from head to toe. He was crowned with thorns, and he was nailed to that cross to die a slow, painful death of suffocation, not being able to breathe. To me, that's kind of the worst way to die. And I think that Jesus went through so much suffering because it tells us that no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of suffering that you're experiencing, that he understands. He understands what it is like to suffer. Maybe Jesus didn't have your exact diagnosis. Maybe Jesus didn't have the exact relational problem that you're having. Maybe Jesus didn't have the exact financial or career struggle. But Jesus knows suffering. So he is in solidarity with you. He is in the suffering with you, along, not leaving you, knowing what it felt like, and promising to be there with you through it. And finally, Jesus died. Jesus, in the human form, died. His physical body died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the Apostle Paul tells us that death is the final enemy to be defeated. And so Jesus in the human form dies, passes through death, is raised to new life as an example to you and I that death does not have to have the final word. Death doesn't have to have the final word. This is the example to us that we can also pass right through death into new life. But Jesus even died. I mean, can you imagine that? It's It's hard to imagine that God, part of God, the human part, was allowed to die. And so what this all means for us, what this means for us today, is that God, our God, is not just a God who sympathizes with you. God just doesn't stay apart from you. And to sympathize with someone means that you stay apart from that person. And you might be excited about what they're experiencing, and you can go to a party and celebrate with them. Or you might feel really sad that they're losing a loved one, but you're not really part of their feelings, and you're not part of who they are. But our God is not a God who sympathizes. Our God is a God who empathizes. Jesus was the epitome, was the pinnacle, was the highest point that you could ever get to, and he personified what it means to empathize. And to empathize means that God knows everything that you're going through. God feels everything that you're going through because Jesus himself experienced these things. And so God understands you because God has experienced everything that you're going through. And this is good news for us today, because God knows you and understands you more perfectly and more intimately than you may have ever believed possible. God knows what you're feeling, and God has experienced your highest highs and your lowest lows, and gives you the example in Christ that there is nothing that you're going through right now that God has never experienced. So far we learned that God loves you, God forgives you, and today was what? God understands you. Are you all feeling like God understands you and knows what you're going through? Good. Okay. So let us close in prayer. Loving God, God, we just thank you, God, for creating us in your image. God, we thank you for making us, God, and we thank you for trusting us, God, to be co-creators along with you in this creation. God, help us to be good co-creators, Lord. Help us to honor your purposes. Help us to seek you, God, as we make our own plans. And God, thank you for understanding us. Thank you, God, for not just loving us and forgiving us, but for coming to us and for showing us that you love us so much that you're willing to go through everything that we go through here and then some. And thank you, God, for the hope that remains in Jesus Christ, God, that we will never be alone, and that even death, God, does not have the final say. And God, we pray for everyone in this room today, God, that they are able to hear and to discern how you understand them. God, thank you for loving us all, and we ask, God, that you be with us as we continue in worship. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.